From Hollywood, California, we present Gene Herschel in another Dr. Christian story called The Pirate of River's End, brought to you by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. If you're planning to have a permanent wave before the holidays, start now to condition your hair for it. Here's a home treatment that will make your hair look better, take a softer, lovelier wave. It takes only a few minutes and costs only a few cents. And here's what you do. Before you shampoo your hair, rub plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic directly on the scalp. Massage with deep rotary movements until the scalp tingles and feels loose. Then steam the head for 10 minutes with towels that have been wrung out in hot water and shampoo. Vaseline Hair Tonic supplements the natural scalp oils. It also helps to remove loose dandruff scales and is absolutely not drying to the hair. And it's so economical. There's enough for several treatments in one 40-cent bottle, and the big 70-cent bottle is even more economical. Now for tonight's Dr. Christian drama. An old-timer in our town, Ed Fettel, has been amusing himself writing up the early history of the place. It's giving everybody the jitters, too, not knowing what may be turned up about the good old forebears. The story begins late one afternoon in Dr. Christian's office, where he is struggling to catch up with some work. Judy Price, his secretary, enters.
Dr. Christian?
Oh, come in, Judy. I was just looking over some of these slides.
May I run across the street for a few minutes?
Certainly, you don't have to ask.
Our club is giving a shower for Elaine Dubon tonight.
A shower?
Yes, you know, a shower. She's marrying that Sherman boy next week.
Oh, a shower.
I haven't had a chance to buy her a gift.
And what will you get her?
Well, I thought I'd run over to Mrs. Jasper's and get a half a dozen of her hand-painted china teacups and saucers.
Good. Mrs. Jasper paints beautifully.
It won't take me long.
Oh, Judy.
Yes?
Here. Take this.
A $5 bill?
Buy her a dozen cups and saucers.
Oh, but Dr. Christian...
Oh, I've known those two children for years. I want to give them something.
Elaine Dubon's father has owed you a bill for 3 months for those treatments for gout. And he's one of the wealthiest men in town.
That's not her fault, Judy.
Well, I won't let you be so extravagant. 6 cups is enough.
Oh, but think of the children, Judy. What will they drink out of? The saucers?
All right.
12 cups, Judy. And just say they came from you.
What am I ever going to do with you? Oh, hello, Mr. Fettel.
Hello, Judy. Hi, Dr. Christian. Busy?
No, come on in, Ed.
Ah, sure.
I'll be right back, Dr. Christian.
That's all right, Judy. Don't hurry. Sit down, Ed.
Ah, thanks.
Now, don't tell me there's something ailing you, Ed Fettel.
No, sir, Doc. Haven't had a sick day in 53 years.
I thought not.
Of course, that's counting from the mumps. Had them when I was 7.
I see.
I've come to ask you to do a little reading for me, Doc.
Reading?
See this here?
Why, it's a manuscript.
Yes, sir. All written out by hand.
The history of River's End.
That's it. The whole story of River's End, from as far back as I could go right up to now.
Well, that sounds interesting.
It is, Doc. More than you think. You'd be surprised at some of the things I've dug up.
But how did you find all this material, Ed?
Minnie Carpenter over at the library helped me. And luckily, most everyone living here now had parents and grandparents and all their parents right here ever since the town begun.
Yes, I guess most everyone liked it so well they've just stayed on.
There's been more excitement right on this very spot than you'd ever imagine. Injuns, soldiers, and pirates.
Pirates?
Yep. Descendants of some of those boys who come over with DeSoto. Stole canoes from the Injuns. Sailed down the Mississippi into LaCroix and the Chippewa. Raising plenty of trouble for the poor redskins.
Well, I'd certainly like to look through it, Ed. Can you leave it with me overnight?
Sure. That's why I brought it over, Doc.
Pirates were them.
You're as much of a kid as I am, Doc. But look it over, will you, and tell me what you think of it.
Yeah, I'll examine the patient, Ed, and give you an honest diagnosis.
Thanks. Well, I guess I'd better be going.
I'm back, Dr. Christian.
Oh, you weren't going long, Judy.
I'll stop around sometime tomorrow, Doc.
All right, Ed.
So long, and thanks, Doc. Bye-bye, Judy.
Goodbye, Mr. Fettel. Dr. Dr. Christian.
Well, let's see the gift, Judy.
I didn't get it. Here's your $5 back.
You didn't get it?
No. I just met one of the girls. She was coming by to tell me the party'd been called off. We're just having a regular meeting instead.
But what about the show?
It's called off. She said Mr. Dubon phoned her this morning and said Elaine was sick.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So am I, because just a few minutes ago, while we were standing outside talking, we both saw Elaine drive by in her car, right up Main Street, looking just as well as I do.
Well, that is strange. Let's see who it is, Judy.
Oh, Dr. Christian, I'm so glad you're still here.
Why, Mrs. Sherman?
I know it's late, but I must speak to you.
Of course, Mrs. Sherman. You needn't wait, Judy.
My son and his fiancée will be here shortly.
Elaine Dubois?
Yes.
Shall I show them in here when they come?
Thank you, Judy, if you will.
Close the door when you go, will you, Judy?
Okay, Doctor.
Now then, Mrs. Sherman, what can I do for you?
Oh, Doctor, you've got to help me. I'm so frightened.
Come now, Mrs. Sherman. You mustn't give way.
I've come to ask a favor of you, Dr. Christian. A very strange favor.
Not too strange for me to grant, I'm sure.
I want you to lie for me, Dr. Christian.
To lie?
Yes.
About what, Mrs. Sherman?
My son, Brett.
He's done something?
Oh, no, no. He's a good boy. You know that, Dr. Christian.
Yes, I know.
Why, you were the one who made it possible for us to come here to River's End from Chicago after Mr. Sherman died. You found Brett's first job.
And he's done very well.
I won't let them spoil it for him now.
Who, Mrs. Sherman? Please tell me what's happened.
I've never told anyone this before. Not even Brett, Dr. Christian.
Yes?
Brett is not my own son.
Brett? He isn't your son?
No, Mr. Sherman and I adopted him when he was a baby.
How old?
Only 2 months. His mother died in childbirth.
And his father?
He was serving a sentence in prison when the child was born.
No. What a pity.
Brett has never known.
No, of course not.
He's always thought I was his real mother.
I can hardly believe your story myself. Why, you two even look alike.
Many people have told us that. Oh, it made me so happy.
But what difference does it make, Mrs. Sherman? Well, you are really mother and son.
So it has always seemed to me.
He has never known anything different.
I've given him everything, devoted my life to his happiness.
There's no need either for him or other people to know.
No, that's what I thought. What I hoped and prayed.
You mean someone else does know?
Yes.
Who?
Oscar Dubon.
Dubon? But how did he find out?
He made inquiries during one of his trips to Chicago, after Brett and Elaine were engaged.
Surely he wouldn't tell the boy.
Maybe not. He's broken off their engagement.
Oh, so that's what happened.
Oh, how can he be so cruel?
Naturally, Brett would wonder, would ask why it had been done.
I can't tell him, Dr. Christian, I can't.
Does the girl, Elaine, does she know?
I don't know.
She said nothing to Brett?
No.
That is cruel to hold it against the boy.
You're the only one who can help me, Dr. Christian.
Me?
Yes. Everyone knows you were in Chicago at the time we adopted the boy. If you will swear he is my son, that you were in attendance, sign the birth certificate, no one will dare question us again.
There would be doubts if Oscar Dubon also found proof.
They would believe you. Everyone here in River's End loves you, believes in you.
And if I were to betray that trust even once...
You've got to do it, Dr. Christian. You've got to. My boy's happiness. My very life depends on it.
Wait. We'll find some way. Some other way.
Well, there is no other way. I walked the floor all night. All day today, thinking. Trying to find something. You've got to tell them, Doctor. You've got to tell them yourself. That's why I've asked them both to come here this afternoon.
Wait. There is another way.
For him? For my boy?
Yes. You're going to tell him the truth, Mrs. Sherman.
Oh, no.
Brett is old enough to understand.
No.
There's nothing to be afraid of. He loves you.
I'm not afraid for myself. But what will do to him?
He's strong enough to face it.
Oh,
now.
No, Dr. Christian, no. Not a thing like this.
Wait.
There they are now.
Come on in, Judy.
Mr. Ball, Mr. Sherman are here, Dr. Christian.
Please ask him to wait, Judy. We'll see them in a moment.
Yes, Dr.
Please listen to me, Mrs. Sherman.
He'll hate me for not telling him before.
No. No, he'll love you for protecting him. As long as you could.
For protecting him?
Yes. Now that the truth is out, If we were to lie to him, to build his future on a lie that he himself might doubt, he'd never forgive us.
But he'd never find out.
He might, we can't tell.
But who would...
I don't know. The truth has a strange way of making itself known. If this had happened after he and Elaine were married, I'd feel that he'd cheated her.
Cheated her?
By not telling her first and giving her the right to choose. He'd never be sure of one. He'd never forgive himself.
Yes. Yes, I see.
Trust me, Mrs. Sherman. I'm sure I'm right.
Oh, I do trust you, Dr. Christian. I do.
Good, now. Dry your eyes. We'll have him come in.
Yes, my bag.
Never mind. Take my handkerchief. It's a nice big one.
Thank you.
All right?
Oh, yes. I'm all right now.
Good. Oh, Judy.
Yes, Dr. Christian?
Oh, will you ask Fred Sherman and Elaine to come in now?
Yes, Dr. Dr. Christian, now, will come in.
All right, Judy.
Thanks, Judy.
Come in, Fred. Come in, Elaine.
Hello, Dr. Christian.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Dr. Christian.
Hello, Mother, dearest.
My boy, and Elaine. Hello, Mrs. Sherman.
Your mother and I have been talking, Brad.
Yes, I know.
Dr. Christian has something to tell you. And Elaine.
We know that too, Mrs. Sherman.
Dr. Christian is going to tell us that he signed my birth certificate and that you are my real mother.
Britt!
Well, as a matter of fact...
And I love you both for trying to protect me.
Britt, what do you mean?
I know the truth, Mother.
What?
You
Britt?
Do?
I know the whole story. About my mother and how you and Dad adopted me in Chicago. And everything about my father.
You know that?
Yes, Mother.
I told him.
You did?
Certainly I did. I wanted Brett to know the truth.
And it makes no difference to you, Elaine?
Oh, of course not. I love Brett for what he is, not for his ancestors, my boy. My baby.
Oh, you mustn't cry, Mother. I'm proud to know that you chose me rather than, well, just taking a chance on me sight unseen, the way most babies come into this world.
I knew he wouldn't love you any less, Mrs. Sherman, if he learned the truth.
More, if anything.
Sure.
Well, so there you are, Mrs. Sherman. What are you crying about?
Put your father away. And what about him?
Oh, Dad's roaring around at a great rate. Says he'll disinherit me. That his only child is breaking his heart. That he's going to pack me off to Palm Beach for the winter, etc., etc., etc.
The idea of that old hornswoggler.
Mrs. Sherman. Remember, he is Elaine's dad.
Oh, don't mind me. You can't tell me anything about my dad I don't know. But I can tell you things you don't know. Dad's mighty gruff on the outside, but there's a proverbial heart of gold underneath. You see, I happen to be the one thing he really cares about since Mother died.
And he's afraid he'll lose it.
Yeah. And that's just what he will do if he keeps up this opposition.
Maybe if Brett would talk to him man to man and explain
to him. No, it's no good. I've tried it.
Dad stormed up and down and shouted so loud we couldn't either of us get a word in edgewise.
And after he'd had his say, he walked out and slammed the door.
That's the way Dad meets all issues. He talks loud and fast and then walks out.
But this time he can't get away with it, because we're going to walk out.
Oh
no,
Britt.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
What else can we do?
Elaine, I admire your spirit. I know you and Brett love each other, and I want you both to be happy. But I'm not sure you will be if your father disinherits you all your life. You've had everything money could buy. And Brett is just a young fellow, starting out on a small salary.
Oh, I know, Mrs. Sherman. Don't think I haven't thought about that. I know what I'll be giving up, but I've decided Brett's worth it.
Darling.
Oh, bless your heart. And you know, when I've made up my mind to something, I can be just as stubborn as my dad.
I believe it. Oh, come on in, Judy.
Mr. Oscar Dugan on the telephone, Dr. Christian.
Father?
He wants to speak to you. This is very important.
All right, Judy, I'll take the call in here.
Well, what do you suppose he wants?
Now, children, let me take care of this. Hello, Mr. Dubon. Yeah, this is Dr. Christian. What's that? Your gout's been talking to you, huh?
What's he saying?
He wants to know if I've seen you.
Oh, Brett, I'd be furious if we were together.
I just keep talking about his gout. You say it's been bothering you again? What? I can't hardly hear you, Mr. Dubon. There must be a bad connection.
Really?
What? I better stop around and take a look at that foot this evening, Mr. Dubon. I'm afraid you've been overeating. Ah, good. Well, I'll stop in around 7:30. Goodbye, Mr. Dubon.
Dr. Christian.
Oh, I was telling the truth. It really was a bad connection.
You're going to stop over this evening.
I am.
See, Father?
Yes.
But his gout hasn't bothered him for months.
I think it will tonight.
That Dr. Christian, what are you up to?
You and Fred want to get married, don't you?
Yes, Dr. Christian.
More than anything.
And we aren't going to let him stop us.
No, not even if we have to run away together.
Oh, no, Fred.
I think it would make your mother happier, Fred. Yours too, Elaine. She was still with us. If you didn't run away. If you were married here in Riversend with a nice church wedding with flowers and bridesmaids and music.
Oh,
and...
yes. I want to see my boy and his bride.
Well, that's what I always dreamed of, but...
It was to be next Thursday.
It may still be.
You mean that that's what you're going to see Father about tonight?
Is that it, Dr. Christian?
I'm going to see about his gout. If the subject should come up...
Oh, Dr. Christian.
Well, we'd better wait and see.
The program will be continued in a few minutes. In the meantime, there's a woman here in the studio tonight who's found a very simple solution of a problem that bothers many people at this time of year.
Perhaps I'd better start by saying that I do our family wash, and that hanging clothes out on the line in winter is just about the easiest way in the world to get a pair of badly chapped, rough hands. I tried all my friends' pet remedies, but even so, my hands were a sight most of the week. Then, one wash day, Bobby came in with a scratch to be fixed up, and I got out the Vaseline jelly. After I'd finished with him, I rubbed a little Vaseline jelly on my hands. And that's what I've been doing every wash day since. Whenever my hands are chapped, it seems to lubricate the skin.
Lubricating the skin is one of the jobs Vaseline jelly was made for. It does it by supplementing the natural oil. And that's only one of the important things that Vaseline jelly does. It forms a protective film that helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. And it promotes healing. It is these three things that make Vaseline jelly so useful for all minor skin hurts and irritations. No one can afford to neglect them. Get a jar or a tube of Vaseline jelly at your druggist tomorrow. It costs only 10 cents. You will find it the handiest thing in the house for hundreds of everyday needs. We return you now to River's End and Dr. Christian's story about pretty Elaine Dubon, whose wealthy and proud father, Oscar Dubon, has forbidden her marriage to the boy of her heart, Brett Sherman, because he has discovered that Brett is an adopted son whose real father died in prison.
Christian.
Oh, yes. Judy, come in.
You've been sitting here in this office ever since I left this afternoon.
What time is it?
Why, it's nearly 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Yes. Jerry and I saw you live. He's going to take me over to the club meeting.
Well, I had no idea it was so late. Nearly missed my appointment.
And I'll bet you haven't even had supper.
I've been reading.
Reading?
A very interesting manuscript, Judy. History of River's End.
Oh, you missed your supper for that.
Oh, there's a reason, Judy. It's more important than you think.
Oh, you come along with us. Jerry and I'll see that you eat something.
I haven't time now, but you and Jerry can drop me off at Oscar Dubon's house, if you will.
Oscar Dubon? If there's anything the matter with him except cussedness, I miss my guest.
I won't have to take time to get my car.
And you'd miss your supper for Oscar Dubon?
No. Not for Oscar, Judy. But for a charming young cop whose future happiness depends a lot what happens tonight.
But Dr. Christian...
I can't answer any question now, Judy. Come on. I'm 20 minutes late as it is.
I tell you again, there's nothing wrong with my foot, Dr. Christian.
Better to be on the safe side, Mr. Dubon.
I tell you, I haven't been troubled with gout since you treated me last spring.
But you can never tell when it might start again, Dad.
I'll bet you had something to do with this young lady.
Why, Dad, what...
It won't do any harm to have a look, Mr. Dubon.
Oh, very well, very well. I guess you know what you're doing.
I hope so, Mr. Dubon. I hope so. Just as I thought. Your blood pressure's up again.
Take that rubber thing off my arm.
You've been letting yourself get too excited over, trivial matters.
Mm-hmm. Trivial matters? Why, you have no idea, Dr. Christian, the worries, the things I have on my mind.
No. Unfortunately, that is something doctors cannot control. If it were possible, our work would be a lot easier. Let's see your tongue. Been overeating, too, I'm afraid.
Great guns, a man has to eat.
You should take life more easily, Mr. Dubon. Relax more.
Relax? When I have a million things on my mind?
Get them off your mind, then. You should read more.
Ah, I haven't time.
Take time. Lose yourself in the stories of others. There are joys and sorrows, their troubles and happiness.
I haven't read a book in years.
I've just finished one I'm sure you'd like.
Oh, really? What was it, Dr. Christian?
It's by one of our hometown boys. It's called The History of River's End.
The History of Our Town?
Yes.
It sounds fascinating.
Ed Fetter wrote it. He's done a lot of research and traced nearly all our oldest families back to the earliest settlers.
Why, we must be in it, then.
Yes. You are in it, Mr. Dubon.
Ah, the Dubons are one of the oldest families of River's End, Dr. Christian.
Indeed they are, Mr. Dubon. According to Ed's book, they asserted themselves the moment they stepped out of their canoes.
Canoes?
How far back have you been able to trace your family?
Only as far back as great-great-grandpapa Dubon. He was a Frenchman.
Even then, he held the title to most of the fertile land around the river.
Yes. Yes, that all fits in perfectly.
But he didn't arrive in a canoe.
We had records of his birth, but the names of his father and mother were obscure.
Oh, then you must read this manuscript, both of you.
You mean it tells
all? It goes further back than that.
It goes right back to the first white settlers in this part of the country.
And our ancestors were among them, Dr. Christian?
Yes, I think they were, Mr. Dubon.
Well, who were they, Doctor?
A band of French sailors.
What?
Sailors?
Yes. They settled along the banks of the Chippewa and the Lacroix, either killing the Indians or driving them out, confiscating their lands.
Why, they were pirates.
Elaine.
They were, Dad. Just think, our ancestors were pirates.
Ah, nonsense, nonsense. The Dubons were never among them.
I believe Ed has found a certain pirate among them named René Dubois.
Dubois?
Yeah, his son later changed his name to Dubon.
Our name?
Because of the disgraceful manner in which his father had acquired his property.
Well, now, that must have been great-great-great-grandpapa's papa.
I think it was, Elaine.
Why, then all the land you have now, Dad, all that land along the river you inherited from Grandpa Dubon came from a pirate who had stolen it from others.
Now, look here, Dr. Christian, are you insinuating
that... I'm just telling you some of the facts I've discovered in Ed's book.
And they are facts?
Ed has drawn on only the most reliable records. I think they're very, very interesting.
So do I.
Elaine.
Oh, dear.
Elaine, what are you laughing at?
I was just thinking. Wait until the rest of the town gets a hold of that book.
Well, if it is true, this Dubois probably wasn't to blame. The others probably forced him into it.
Oh, Dad, no. I couldn't bear to think our ancestor was just an ordinary pirate. I'm sure he must have been the leader.
Elaine.
As a matter of fact, he was.
Oh, well.
He was? The leader?
Yeah. Ed brings that out, too, in his book.
Well, they can't hold me responsible. I inherited the lands legally.
Oh, of course you did, Mr. Dubon. Matter of fact, some of our finest, most respected businessmen and financiers of today are descendants of some of the worst scoundrels in history.
They are?
Well, it's quite simple. A new land, such as ours, when it was first discovered, which in every way, open and free, was certain to attract all sorts of scamps and villains from the old.
And there were no laws, of course.
They had only to fight for what they wanted to take and hold it.
Well, of course, of course. And we today can't be blamed.
No.
I think you're quite right, Mr. Dubon. The sentence should not be held responsible for the actions of their forebears, any more than the children should be held responsible for the actions of their elders.
Of course not.
No.
It's preposterous.
Yes.
No more than young Brett Sherman can be blamed for the mistake his father made.
Brett?
Yes. You do agree with me, don't you, Mr. Dubois?
That's just what you've been telling Dr. Christian, Dad.
Why, I guess it is.
You've been arguing on the boy's side ever since we started.
Well, maybe I have acted a little too harshly.
You can't object to Brett now.
Well, I guess you win.
Oh, Dad, you're swell.
All right, but just the same, I'm not entirely in favor.
Oh, dear.
What is it, Elaine?
Well, maybe we can't be married after all.
Why not? Your father's giving his consent.
I know, I No, but maybe when Mrs. Sherman reads that book, she might not want Brett to marry me.
Elaine, this is nothing to be joking about.
Okay, I know, Daddy. You've made me very happy.
Well, I don't see why Ed Fettle had to go snooping around and write that blasted book anyway.
Oh, no, wait. Remember your blood pressure, Mr. Dubon. You mustn't get excited.
And I don't believe you came to see me about my gout at all.
Maybe not. But you must admit we've had a very interesting evening.
See you, that is, Elaine.
Oh, it's probably Judy. She promised to stop for me on the way back from a club meeting.
Well, I'll see Dr. Christian to the door, Dad. Don't get up.
Good night, Mr. Dubon. I hope you won't be angry.
Well, I... who could be angry with you, Dr. Christian? Good night.
Good night.
Your things are in the hall, Doctor.
I'm coming.
Oh, how can I ever thank you, Dr. Christian?
It's nothing, Elaine. I'm glad we managed to do it. I was worried.
Well, that book was an inspiration. But tell me, Dr. Christian, is it true? Am I really a descendant of that fascinating pirate?
Well, there was a pirate named Dubois who settled in these parts.
Dr. Christian?
Now, wait, who are we to say? It might be true. It might be true of any of us.
You have been listening to Gene Herschel in another Dr. Christian story, The Pirate of River's End. In a moment, we'll introduce the members of the cast and ask Mr. Herschel to tell you about next week's story. This is the time of the year that skin chaps easily. Keep a jar of Vaseline jelly handy to use on your own and the children's hands after exposure to winter winds. It is absolutely safe to use even on a baby's tender skin. For Vaseline jelly contains no chemicals. It is made by a special scientific process, sterilized in the process of manufacture, and packed in sterilized containers. It is so pure that you can actually eat it. Vaseline jelly has such unique soothing and protective qualities that it is also used as a base for a number of special Vaseline products. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. Ask your druggist about them. But whether you are buying plain Vaseline jelly or any of the Vaseline specialties, look for the trademark Vaseline. It is your guarantee of purity. In tonight's program, you heard the following artists. Harry Humphrey played Ed Fettle, our historian. Gloria Holden was Elaine Dubon. Captain William Royal was Oscar Dubon, her father. Barney Phillips was Brett Sherman, her fiancé. Martha Wentworth played Mrs. Sherman, the mother. And charming Rosemary DeCamp played Judy Price as usual. Our star, of course, was Gene Herschult in the role of Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian, what have you for us for next week?
Well, so many people seem to be interested in Peg Foster, the blind girl who has the seeing eye dog, that I thought I'd tell you another story about her.
Good. I hope you're going to tell us whether or not she married Joe Hardy, Doctor. That seems to be the big question among people I know.
Well, wait and see. Until next Tuesday at this same time, I'll say good night.
Join us next Tuesday night to hear Gene Herschel's Dr. Christian story. It is called Sweet Genevieve and concerns the blind girl, Peg Foster. Miss Gloria Holden, featured film player, will again have the role of Peg. Gene Herschel appears on this program through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. While giving thanks for your own good health, remember that thousands are ill with tuberculosis. Do your part to fight this dread disease and buy Christmas seals now. Arthur Gilmore speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. ¶¶